Morena Itefano. Today's reading comes from Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord.
All right, so I'm just going to welcome up Andrew this morning. My wife Lily this morning asked, "Oh, is today the day that Jesus rode in on a donk?" So if you need to remember, that's a helpful shorthand for donkey. I'm just going to pray for Andrew and we'll hear what he has to say. Lord, thank you so much for Andrew and everything he gives to this house. We just pray that Holy Spirit would be with him this morning and he'd be free to speak whatever it is that you have to say to us, and then we'd all have something awesome to take home with us going into next week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sure that sound. Oh, there we go. It's great. Good morning, everyone. Great to see you this morning. Did you all manage to get a palm cross? They've run out. They're all gone. No, I'm just kidding. You could always get one on the way out, but looks like Lily's going to bring some in for you. So thank you for those people who made them. I found this one. I was quite taken by it because it was so beautifully symmetrical and it was fat, so I quite liked it. But I have a number of these that I kind of stick on my computer screen or on my wall, and as the years go by, I'm one of those people who don't give in my crosses for Ash Wednesday, so confession time. I know. There was someone going, "No, naughty." so that's why we've got some crosses this morning. This morning, I want to kind of do a couple of things. But first of all, Christ is risen.
He is risen.
You're a week early. That's next week's sermon. So we're going to tie up a few things from the series we've been doing around. We've talked around how we've, on our journey through Lent, that we've clothed ourselves in some things and we've let go of some things. And we, you know, Bishop Justin came and talked about clothing ourselves with compassion. And then Julia talked about humility. So we've had, and it's mostly been out of Colossians 2 and 3, just a fantastic scripture. Last week, you know, Steve talked about being in Christ. And I loved that imagery of a fish being in water. Just a great image. A fish without water, isn't that pretty? But when a fish is in water, it is at home and it has life. When we are in Christ, we are at home and we have life. Such a great illustration. I must confess, I haven't listened to the rest of the sermon. I stopped at that bit. But that was it was really great. And it's been great to hear different people's take on clothing ourselves. And Sam showed us his beautiful coat. I have a coat for you later. We'll judge whether mine is better than Sam's or not. Something to look forward to or not. So today, as we celebrate the day that Jesus came into Jerusalem and entered into that final week before he came to the cross, and today is the day that we celebrate that. That today is the day. And in the celebration, in the scripture we've read, we've got a number of things that are kind of taking place. First of all, we've got the colt and the donkey. Now, Matthew is the only gospel that talks about the donkey and the colt. The others just talk about a donkey or a colt. But it's really interesting, and just reading around it and the thoughts, there was one commentator who says, well, Jesus straddled both donkey and colt. But you can imagine even on a donkey, like you can imagine Jesus' feet kind of dangling fairly low down. They're not big animals. But it's a great image, isn't it, of Jesus who comes as a different kind of king. And not only does he come as a different kind of king, but he comes on a donkey, which is the most unmilitary animal you could have. Anyone seen Shrek 2? Shrek 2, and the donkey turns into a mighty stallion. I'm a stallion, baby! He didn't come in on a stallion, but he came on a donkey with a colt. Came with a donkey that was a nursing donkey, the most unmilitary animal you can have. And quite likely at the other side of the city, Pilate had a whole crew, a garrison of people coming in to protect the city because of it was Passover and masses of Jews came in. And whenever the Jews got together, there was always trouble. They came for the Passover and there would be thousands of them. And so at the other side of the city, there would have been this great military force shown on great horses and stamping of feet and waving of shields. And Jesus enters on a nursing donkey. Humility. Servanthood. The picture of a different kind of king. And then we have the branches. And it's interesting in the different gospels. Luke doesn't even talk about branches. He just talks about the cloaks on the ground. Matthew and Mark talk around branches, but John's the only one who calls them palms. So it's really interesting that the Gospels and together, and isn't it so true with Scripture that we have to read the whole bit to get the whole story? Because the reason each of those were writing were different reasons to slightly different people. So they emphasize slightly different things. Doesn't make one right and one wrong. But as we read the fullness of Scripture, we understand better. So often the palm branches were actually a signification of a priest coming. So the palm branches would show that Jesus came and an incredible image again, not only as in humility as a king like no other, but he comes as a priest. As he comes as that high priest that would come. And the high priest was the one who could go into the Holy of Holies, sprinkle the blood for the forgiveness of the people's sins. So a little indication that Jesus came as priest and king. And then we have the cloaks. And now in those times, your cloak was a very important garment, an outer garment that would protect you from the cold. It was often a thing of protection, you know, would have been protecting from the sun, would have been protecting from the cold, would actually keep you cool in the heat if you let it flap in the breeze. It was often a place of status, depending on what they looked like. And, you know, we look at Joseph's coat of many colors of great significance. So status. Another garment that they would have worn is actually a prayer shawl. And on the corners of the prayer shawl would have been tassels, which would indicate the different commands of God. And then across the collar, it would say, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So that's another type of cloak that they would wear. And these cloaks, they would lay down in front of Jesus. And laying down of cloaks was a sign of loyalty, honor, commitment, submission to a king. In 2 Kings 9:13, when Jehu was declared king. So Jehu and a bunch of other commanders were sitting around in a room. And then Elisha said to one of his minor prophets, one of his crew of prophets, he said, I want you to go and I want you to find Jehu and I want you to tell him that he is now the king of Israel. And then I want you to tell him these things about how he's got to basically dismantle a family and get rid of Ahab and all the badness and the wickedness, and then run away. And so the prophet, I'm assuming, maybe wrong, the young prophet boy would go, and he went to the group of commanders, and he says, "Oh, I need to talk to the commander." And they go, "Well, which one?" And he goes, "You." And so he goes and talks to Jehu, and he says, "You are to be the king of Israel, and you are to do these things, and this is what you need to do." And then he ran away. And Jehu comes back to the group, and they go, "Oh, what did he say? What did he say?" And Jehu goes, "Oh, you know what they're like. They always talk nonsense. They always just, they're crazy men, the prophets. They're like, just doesn't really matter." But they pushed him and said, "What did they say?" And he said, "Oh, he said that I was to be anointed by king." And the prophet, you know, poured oil all over him and all the rest of it. But he said I was to be king. And what did they do? They got their cloaks and they laid them down on the step as Jehu entered, of acknowledgement of a king. So as we lay the cloaks, as they lay the cloaks before Jesus, it was an acknowledgement that he was the king. He was the Messiah. It was an honoring, a commitment, a loyalty. And then there were shouts of Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna. And that word Hosanna actually comes from the root of to save. So it's like there's several different commentaries around what that they could have been shouting. One is more of, and it's probably a bit of both, but one of them is more of like, "Come and save us, come and save us. The Son of David, come and save us." An acknowledgement of the Messiah King coming to save them. And another one is to say the one, you know, it's the one who is the Savior. So you are the Savior as an adoration. We acknowledge you are the Savior. Slightly different take. But it could come in any different way. And so often we come and we sing Hosanna, and it's just a word that rolls off our lips because it's not, you know, we know it's praise. We know it's adoration to Jesus. But it's about saving. It's about acknowledging that Jesus was the one who would come and save them. Jesus was the one. Come to save them in that time from the Romans and the oppression that they lived under, from the poverty that they lived in, from the oppression that they lived under as a people and as families. Come and save them from the laws and the regulations of the priests and the scribes and the teachers of the law and the religious leaders, that they were constantly felt like they were under oppression. And all of a sudden there was this whisper of a Messiah king who right through their history would be saying, "Yes, there is someone who's going to come and save us. He will restore the temple as it should be. At last there's going to be a king and he's going to kick out the Romans and we're going to be safe again." And instead of Jesus coming on a military force, gathering a military crowd, instead of him building up political party that would say we're going to come and we're going to do this in a political sense, instead of him coming and doing guerrilla warfare, so I'm going to sneak around here and we're going to beat them up here and da-da-da, he comes on a donkey that is nursing. He comes in humility. But everyone, so many of them would have been expecting him to come and free them from the tyranny of the Romans. So here is Jesus coming, the king, but not as you would know it. The upside down kingdom, the king of peace and compassion, the king of love and forgiveness. Not a military force, not a political power, not a rebellion in that sense. Not what you would expect, but a king who comes in humility, compassion, and love. Sound familiar? Clothe yourself with humility, compassion, and love. Because that's what we're called to be as followers of Jesus. As disciples wanting to be followers of him. That doesn't mean we just come to a church on a Sunday morning and enjoy ourselves and sing nice songs and listen to interesting or sometimes boring preachers. But we come because we know there is something more. We come because it's the lifestyle of discipleship. A kingdom of humility, of compassion, of peace, of sacrifice, and of servanthood. Sounds like a pretty dull place, doesn't it? But it's actually the best. It's the only way. You know, it's interesting. We come in our time now and we think, you know, what would your cry of Hosanna, save me, look like? Well, it's this government. Well, I need to be saved from this government because da 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 da. Or maybe it's the financial crisis. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Now, what if Jesus rode into Palmerston North in a 92 Toyota Corolla towing a trailer? I had to get Toyota in there somewhere.
Thank you, Andrew.
Yes, you're welcome. So what if Jesus turned up driving a little red Toyota Corolla 1992 with a tow bar and a little trailer? And we're all going, Hosanna. And we all cry out, Hosanna, save us. What would we asking him to save us from? Is it the government? Is it the financial crisis that so many find themselves in? Is it the job insecurity that many people are finding themselves in now? Is it the housing crisis? Is it the lawlessness we see in our cities and across the nation like never before? Is it the climate that's changing? Is it the fact that the latest church leader is just not as good as the one before, and the one that's coming probably won't be as good anyway? That Carson, like, what is he about? Is it a family crisis? We find ourselves in desperate need. And these are all things that we live in. And it's okay that we live in, and it's okay that we get grumpy about it. But is that what we ask Jesus to come and save us from? Or is there something more important? Is it that family crisis? Is it that person who's hassling me? Is that person I'm afraid of? Is it that situation that I don't know what to do? Is it that there's someone that I just want to see to follow Jesus and I've prayed for them and they just won't do it? The disappointments. Those people I've prayed for and they've got worse. That's sometimes our reality, isn't it? Those are the situations we find ourselves in. Is it that ferret who's been eating all our chickens? True story. And the other thing is, what are the coats that we wear? What are our outer cloaks look like? I've got my body bag. I thought if Sam can do it, so can I. See, what are the cloaks that we wear? Here's my flash coat. So this is my jacket that I wear when I ride my bike. Sorry? This is the coat Elaine wears. No, this is actually my one. She's extra large. Must be. Anyway, this is the coat I ride when I... Just pretend, will ya? This is the coat I wear when I ride my bike. See, it's the coat of all the things I enjoy spending my time on. This is the coat of when there's a particular game on my phone I quite like that you have to put bricks in little spaces and clear. You know, it's the things I spend my time on that I enjoy. I saw that smile over there. Is it the cloak? Well, I didn't really think this through, did I? Is it the cloak that says, I just want to be seen? I like to be seen. I like to be the hero. I like to come in and be the one who helps. I like... Oh. You can see my family have a sense of humour. What's the next one? Oh. This is the one to compete with Sam. This is the coat I got married in. Man, this coat is just so fetch, man. This is the best. So this is the coat I got married in. Yeah, man. I think I've worn it once since then, but that's okay. It still fits. So this is the coat. This is the coat about my marriage. My family. This is my cloak of family. But wait, there's more. I didn't really think this through very well at all, did I? Sorry about that. This is my raincoat. Actually, this... Oh, man, it's hot. this jacket is probably the most expensive coat I have, and my mother-in-law paid for it. I paid for this one myself, and it's nearly as expensive as the one underneath it. This is my coat of protection. This is the one I wear when I'm tramping. This is the one that protects me from the elements. This is the one that makes me feel safe and secure against the elements of the world. This is my coat of protection. Oh, here we go. This is the coat. Oh. This is the coat I wear to work sometimes. So this is my coat that I wear to work. And this is a coat that makes me feel warm and comfortable. This is a coat that is, it's nice to wear. It's got nice little dongle things on it. Here we go. How am I going to do this? This is my bush shirt. This is one of my favourite. This is the one I wear when I'm going outside and doing my work on the farm. This is my coat of my provision because on our farm we have cattle. Excuse me for a minute. Sorry, Thomas, you might want to... Are we still on the air? No. Anyway, this is the coat that I wear. Can I wear that one? Oh, and the cattle go in the freezer occasionally. Sorry, vegetarians, but it provides for my family, allows us to be generous. I'm puffing. This is my coat of provision. But you see, what did the people do? They lay their cloaks on the ground. I wish it was like a computer. You just push undo, undo, undo. I was saying to, I think it might have been Elisha this morning, I said, you know, you're going to do something and you've not practiced it and it could go terribly wrong. Welcome to my world. We're called to lay our coats down. They lay their coats down as a sign of homage to Jesus. Lay your cloaks down as a sign that in this space I acknowledge you as my king. My coat of protection. I'm sure they didn't have this hassle when they did it. My coat of protection. My coat of family. And Elaine's going, that's your good coat you've got to throw on the ground. But isn't that what it would have been like? One of their most prized possessions was the... I can't remember what this one was. Oh, wanting to be seen. My cloak of wanting to be seen and known and respected by others. Whew. My cloak of my time and my leisure. See, as we come to Palm Sunday and we lead to Easter, let's lay our cloaks down. By laying it down, I'm saying that, God, I trust you with my provision. That even though times are tough, I trust that you will not leave me. My comfort. You don't ever say that when I come to you that I will live in perfect comfort and my world will be a bed of roses forevermore. You say, I choose, I will be with you. I lay down my coat of protection because, God, you are my protector. I lay down my beautiful jacket of family. That one of the things I treasure the most is my family, my wife and my children, my grandchildren, child. Maybe that was prophetic.
Sorry, Elisha. Just while Chloe's not here, she would be giving me daggers. I lay down my cloak of family, say, Lord, even though there are some situations in my family that we pray for, that we just need to see God to break through, I choose to lay it down and trust you, because you are my king. My call of wanting to be seen, wanting to be known, wanting to be famous, wanting to be excellent, wanting to be good, wanting to be known. I lay it down because I'm only truly known in you. My time, my leisure, the things I love doing, I choose to lay them down. On this Palm Sunday, as we come to the end. And the other thing, what did Jesus do after he entered in? He went to the temple and he turned the tables over. I was going to use the altar. It's too big, otherwise I would have. What is it that Jesus, when he comes to you after laying these things down, what are the tables he would want to turn over in your life? What are the things that he would say to you? And it's going to be different for every one of us. Which bit of us is that he's calling us into, and it's an invitation into a greater sense of life and fulfillment? What table would he turn over in your life? What table would he turn over in mine? Jesus wasn't just crazy and mad. There was a purpose in him turning the tables. He wanted to show that there is a different way. He is a different king. There is a different way of living, and it's not just about being seen. It's not just about the power and the authority that you can be seen to have. It's about living in a fullness of life in him, in the water, so that we have life and freedom. So what tables would he want you to turn? What cloak do you need to lay before Jesus today? You don't have to take it off and lay it down. That's okay. But you hear what I'm saying? It's like Jesus is after our whole lives. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to be free from the power that these things can hold over us. Because every one of these things can hold power over us. And if we hold on to that cloak, we hold on to that coat, we'll never be truly free. But I tell you what, if you let go of the feeling of the having to have power over these things yourself and let Jesus and trust in him, it doesn't make your life perfect in the sense that everything will change, but it makes it right. And it makes you whole again. And it doesn't necessarily change the situation you're in. But Jesus promises to be with you in every single one of those things. He will protect you when he needs to protect you. He will provide when he needs to provide. He will be your comfort. He is your family. He is the one who sees you and knows you. And that's all that's necessary. He is the one that rules our time and then the things that we enjoy. He is the one who calls us to turn the tables in our lives, to turn and follow him. He is the one when Jesus comes in that 92 Corolla with a trailer and we sing, Hosanna, will you save us? Save us from being able to, the freedom of these things. Save us from these things having power over us. Save us from the things of sin, the power of sin and death, so that we can be free to worship him and love him. Because, folks, that's what we're called to be. And you know what? That's all. If we do that, we win. In the nicest possible way. I better stop. We're going to sing. And in about 7 or 8 minutes, the children will come in and they will be waving flags. So I don't know how we do this, Lisha. because I can't talk anymore because you'll be bored if I keep going. I've already talked too long. But we're going to sing together. And as you sing, can I just encourage you to consider these cloaks, consider the table, and just ask Jesus, is there one thing? What does that look like? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I thank you that you call us to lay down our lives before you. You call us to receive you as a king like no other. You call us into family. You adopt us as children, that we are sons and daughters of the living God. So we want to say, Lord, we are grateful. We are grateful that you free us from the power of sin and death. You are the one who frees us from the power of that money has over us. You are the one who has power of all these different situations. You are the one who frees us from these things so we can live in joy. So we can live out of praise and adoration no matter what our circumstances might look like. Because you are our God and we are your people. And we choose to praise you. And it's in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen.